Financial Times and produced by John Watkins. And if you have any questions, comments or points, then the address to write to is feedback, BBC Broadcasting House, London W1A 1AA. This is Radio 4, and it's 6:30 and time for Cat's Whiskers.
Hi, everybody. It's the last programme. Richard's packing our stuff away and I'm still on crutches. Flipping it.
Oh, keep hold of Geordie or you may end up in a teacher's too. Catnapped. Oh, cheer up, PJ. There'll be more Cat's Whiskers soon.
Yeah, it's just, I really like this shed now.
Yeah, oh, our listeners were a great help with ideas for decoration, weren't they?
Great. And look at all the competition entries.
Cool.
There it goes again. Oh, you must be able to hear that, Richard. A crunching noise.
It'll be a mouse. Oh, right. Ah, I think that's most of it packed away. Oh, what a miserable face, PJ. We've still got two stories to come and the quiz.
And the final part of the cereal. I'm sorry, Richard. I'll try and cheer up. Right, what are we going to have first?
Well, the second part of the Giants Olympics. You can make yourself useful by working the tape recorder, putting in the music.
Right. I'm ready.
Here we go.
The Giants Olympics had taken place in the north part of Giants Island. Now the Earthling children, Ruth, Stephen, Wing, Rebecca and Kamala, decided to explore the other quarters of the island while the giants were asleep. The children left the field of events as darkness was falling, and now it was dead of night, and in the distance the children saw a graveyard where the moonlight glinted on the marble tombstones, and on the tombstones were writ no names. "Ooh," said Rebecca, and everyone shivered a little. The element of air became magic, and ghosts rose up from the graves like a ballet, and there was ethereal music everywhere, and there was a kind of chanting. Words came drifting on the air.
"Football, football, football."
And the ghosts seemed to be splitting into two teams. It was at this point that Ruth and Stephen gave the game away.
"Come on, Liverpool!"
shouted Stephen.
"Forest, Forest!"
shouted Ruth. And the ghosts stopped and looked round, aghast that their little game was being spied on. Then they descended like a demented line of washing toward the children and picked them all up and talked to them. They were really friendly.
"You earthly children, will you please, please paint the numbers, the World Cup numbers, on our backs?"
A pot of paint was found and several paintbrushes, and the children painted the numbers 1 to 11 on each player. On each side, thousands of ghosts sat and stood and swayed, watching. They murmured and howled and oohed.
"Come on, the tombstones! Come on, the snowmen!"
which the children quickly realized were the names of each team. The match began with Stephen and Ruth on one side, Kamala, Wing and Rebecca on the other. The ball was an ethereal orb, and the ghosts moved it up and down the pitch as if they were in a silent electronic game. They glided. The children did rather better. At first, they tried to dribble round the ghosts, but then quite quickly realized they could actually run through their opponents, which confused the ghosts and made the children feel that on the ghostly transfer list, they would each be worth £1,000,000. At the end of the game, which the snowmen won 11-9, everything fell silent. "Whisper, whisper," went one ghost to the children. "Shh." And out of the ground and out of the graves rose up skeletons. Jiggledy, jiggledy, higgledy, piggledy. And they rose up in twos, their arms round each other.
"Come here, children, bind our legs together," they cried.
"Of course," said Ruth, "it's a three-legged race. It was. The skeleton's three-legged race. Rattlety, 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 crackletty, 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 up and down the graveyard. And then, suddenly, there was a bright light. Was it the dawn? No. It was Ursula, the Queen of Wishes, and the children fell down in astonishment at her beauty.
"Hi, Sheets," she said. "Hi, Skinnies."
"Ursula," said the ghosts and the skeletons.
"Okay, you guys," said Ursula. "Who won the race? Who won the football?"
"We did,"
said the snowmen.
"We did, we did,"
said two grinning skeletons who had won the three-legged race.
"Okay, well done," said Ursula. "Now get back to your graves and your subterranean passages. Morning, it's a coming in."
The ghosts and skeletons disappeared, and Ursula switched off her light.
"Hey, come on, kids," said Ursula. "You must be tired. I'll take you back to my castle in the forest. Make you cocoa and salad sandwiches. Put you to bed."
"Thank you, Ursula," said the children.
"Don't thank me," said Ursula. "Thank the storyteller."
Which Ruth thought was a very clever remark indeed. So it was that the children slept the night in the magical castle of the Queen of Wishes. And the next day, they knew it would also be time to go home.
Oh, I wonder if the skeletons ever chipped an ankle bone doing the three-legged race. I hope I'm fit again soon, because... That's not a mouse, Richard.
I wonder... No, it couldn't be.
What couldn't be?
Well, where's that letter from the South American expert? Got it. With the packing, I haven't had time to... Now, where are we? Dear Mr. Bryce, thank you for your letter. Can you send me a Liverpool scarf?
Here it is. Listen to this. The creeper you describe is almost certainly a very rare Brazilian specimen which must have been brought to England by an expedition.
I said that.
I'm almost certain that what you have growing up your shed is the singing Amazonian night cruncher.
Didn't I say he was a weirdo? Hang on, he said cruncher, Richard.
Yeah, there's some more here. The only plant in the world that flowers at night and in winter, has a rotten smell, can imitate the human voice, and when fully grown, crunches its food like a dog. Mm. Well, there can't be much doubt, PJ. Chris Creeper is our crazy cruncher. Right, this is it. We'll see who's the boss.
Now, look here, old man. I realise you're in a foreign country, but do try and behave. If you're not singing, you're crunching. I have a story to read in a minute. Thank you.
What a rude creeper.
Oh, that was telling him, Richard. Hey, Richard, my mum says I can keep Geordie at our house.
Ah, quite Mrs. Familiar Pong.
Richard!
Sorry. Now, you give Geordie a little cuddle, and I'll do the story, and you can play in our sound effects.
Ready.
Here we go. October 1066.
What is going on? Usually this field is as quiet as can be. The occasional bird. Possibly a woodpecker.
Wood. Pecker, 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 pecker.
Will you stop it? You're tickling. A few squirrels hiding their acorns in one of my knot holes. But that's about all. But this morning it's been nothing but men dressed up in saucepans and saucepan lids making an awful din. Tramp, 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 up and down. And horses. One of the wretched beasts started to chew at me foliage without so much as a by your leave. And I won't tell you what else it did before it left. Listen to that. Rushing around and shouting, you'd think they were going to have a pitched battle. Perhaps that's what they are going to have. A battle. There seem to be one lot down here and another lot lining up on top of that ridge. Where did they come from? The ones down here are foreign, too. French, is it? Arr! And shooting arrows straight at me. Arr! Another one. Oh, it split my bark open. All my sap will leak out. Hey, you English lot up there. What about some protection from that hostile bunch? I am a monarch of the English countryside, not a pincushion for arrows, especially not foreign arrows. Arr! Where's King Harold? He ought to be putting a stop to this. I do believe that's him in the gleaming suit of perforated silver. Not giving out many orders, though, is he? He obviously can't see what's going on. Hasn't my advantage of height. All I do is shake my head about and I can see everything. And what I see I don't like. Foreign French-sounding blighters with pear-drop shields galumphing about as if they own the place, which they don't. We do. And all their boats cluttering up the beach. I say, boats on the beach. I think England must have been invaded. Ouch! It has. And what's going to happen to us trees? Come on, you lazy, good-for-nothing English soldiers. Call yourself a bodyguard. Do something. Not that way, you rotten cowards. The foreign lot are heading straight for me now. With axes. Great big axes. Or they'll be saying, look at that fine old English oak tree with the mighty trunk and the sturdy boughs and the bosky bunts. Let's chop him down and cleave him into planks and beams. Make a ship or two for our navy. Help, King Harold! Over here! Whew! They put the axes down. Safe for a while. Wait, what's that dog of theirs doing? Arr, as if I didn't know. Nasty foreign hound. That's gone right down to my roots. No manners. Must be French. Yeah, listen to him. I'll give you due aid, Mondrot. Arr, no. Picking up their axes again. Not me. Try that beech tree over there. Much better wood. Not half so good, actually, but they're not to know. Please, not me. I've got a history. Why, they even took one of my acorns to plant in King Harold's garden in London. If you cut me down, he'll have something to say about it, mark my words. Oh, they're going, thank goodness, off to join the battle. I thought I was for the chap there. Or, things don't seem to be going too well for the English, though. Now, where's King Harold? Oh, up on that hill. Oh, arr! Oh, more arrows. Why me? I'm not in the battle. Oh, that one glanced off, thank goodness. Look, you can see it winging off towards... Oh, no! Oh, the king! Oh, duck, your majesty! Duck! Harold! No time to stand on ceremony. Harold! Hold your shield up! Ah! Too late. Too late. You straight in the eye. Oh, and it bounced off me. Oh, how awful. I'm to blame. King Harold will die and the French will win the battle and take over England. It'll be all my fault. Oh, well, if those French try and cut me down, I shall resist. I shall get all my sap up and make their axes go rusty. And if they do cut me down, I'll catch a blight and go mouldy quicker than you can say God save the king in French. So there, never let it be said that we trees can't do our bit. Arr!
I think I'll look at oak trees quite differently from now on.
Arr! Okay, on with the packing.
Oh, he's eating our shed, Richard, look!
Oh, really?
See if the letter says anything else. Hurry!
Right, don't worry. Liverpool scarf, rare night cruncher. Here we are. You will have to take great care if the creeper is a particular variety which loves to crunch wood.
Oh, no!
Especially wood that's been coated or varnished for buildings. Crikey, where his favourite snack, PJ?
I'm off crutches or not.
Look, calm down, PJ. It says nothing about eating people or cats. So he has a little nibble at the shed. We've got a programme to finish, all right?
Okay.
Good girl.
Can we do the quiz now? Quickly.
There's no need for any panic, I'm sure. Now, the quiz. This is about well-known sayings that have something to do with animals. Like, for instance, talk the hind leg up a donkey would be yak, 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 eh, ow. You see? Talk the hind leg up a donkey. See? You got it? Of course you have. Now, we're going to play three sounds, and you have to guess what the well-known saying is. First one. Clue one. Clue two.
Clue 3.
Have you got it? It was raining cats and dogs. I wonder where that saying came from, Richard. I heard once it rained frogs.
Follow that. Next one. Clue 1. Clue 2. This means you don't believe someone. Now, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it? Pigs might fly. That's it. And number 3, clue 1. Clue 2. And clue 3. Bit hard, that one. The saying is...
wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
Can we go now?
Certainly not. What about the last episode of the Enid Blyton serial?
I'm scared, Richard. I know the show must go on.
Exactly.
Trouble is, the show might go in. In Chris Creeper. Listen.
You might sing the right words. This'll shut him up. The final episode of The Castle of Adventure.
Passed over now.
Finally. Sounded like the whole castle was tumbling down on our heads.
Yeah, I should think there's been a fair bit of damage in the hall above us.
I hope the girls got back to Spring Cottage all right.
Mm. Oh, when I think of Scarneck and his oppo giving us the slip. Probably over the other side of the country by now.
It's 5:30, boss. Eh? You want me to organise the lads to take these 3 prisoners back down the hill?
Fine.
But, Bill, we can't open the hole in the floor from down here.
Of course we can. I saw them opening once before when I was hiding. It's this lever over here. See?
It's all right, Button. Soon be out in the air.
The lever won't budge. Bill, you try. You're stronger than I am.
Oh, here, let me. No. No. Oh, part of the castle must have fallen in on the hall up there. We won't get out that way.
We'll have to use the secret passage then.
Looks like it. I only hope that deluge last night hasn't caused any slipping and sliding down there.
From what I saw, the passage yesterday is cut through solid rock.
Well, come on then. We wanted to find out where the tunnel comes out anyway. You got those 3 handcuffed, Jim?
Well and truly, boss.
Right, I'll lead the way.
I just hope our torch batteries hold out.
Not very wide, is it? And it drops down quite steeply as well.
Yes. I think you were right, Philip, about it leading right under the castle foundations.
Listen. Hear that noise? Water!
I'm afraid so. All that rain last night must be trying to get away.
Looks like it's breaking through even more up ahead, boss. Mm. Must be a weak place in the passage wall and the water's forcing itself through.
It's like a torrent. We can't get out this way either.
Now, hold on. Let's not panic too soon. Now, hang on. I'll see how deep it is.
Careful, Bill.
Oh, it's all right. It's about knee-deep. If we're careful, we should be able to wade along it.
Which other passage runs downhill, or we'd have this lot rushing down to meet us.
That's it, Button. Up around my neck. A little thing like you would get swept away in all this.
Yeah, hold it. The passage drops so steeply here, it's like a waterfall.
Oh, no. Now,
I suppose we could try and slide down in the water. No, just a minute. I think there's some steps leading down. We'll be all right if we don't let the water rush us off our feet. Just follow me now, and whatever you do, watch your step.
Oh, well, here goes. Oh, I don't know about you. I've had just about enough of this adventure of ours.
Come on, boys, and be careful now.
Oh, at last. Oh, wonderful. Fresh air. You can see for miles.
Hey, watch your step, lads. It's only a narrow ledge.
What's that place down there, Bill? Rows and rows of barbed wire. Hey, and what's that?
That sort of machine thing in the clearing behind the trees.
Not even I know that, Philip. That machine thing, as you call it, is one of this country's best-kept secrets. You can't see any of this from down at the bottom of the hill, you see.
Oh, now I get it. That machine was what Skarnek was trying to spy on.
Getting the gin on this sort of thing is his speciality. Must have been a godsend to him. An empty castle and a secret passage that came out just in the right place.
Hey, you there! You! Who are you?
Friends! Don't you know an old friend when you see one, Colonel Yarmouth?
Well, I'm blessed. But what are you doing up there? Look, I'll send a couple of men to help you down.
Thanks. Are you all right, boys? It won't be long now. I'll just report to Colonel Yarmouth, and then it's next stop, Spring Cottage.
Oh, it's so good to see you all back safe.
Frosty, Dusty!
We were worried stiff, especially after Tassie went to take a look at the castle this morning.
Half of it's fallen down the hill and the tower's nearly gone. And you weren't back and we thought...
Well, we're all safe now.
And you did capture three of the spies, Bill.
Oh, those three aren't worth calling spies, really. Just thugs who'd do anything for money. Skarnek was the one worth collaring.
But he left all the plans and things behind, didn't he?
But who knows how much he's committed to memory. He might still be able to pass on a few secrets. Still, he'd have been able to do a lot more damage if it hadn't been for you children.
Boss?
There you are, Tom. You got my car?
No, boss. We found it, but... we found something else as well.
Oh, do make sense, man.
Well, the car, boss. Skarnek and his friend must have found it where we left it and tried to make their getaway.
Tried? What do you mean?
Deluged rain last night. It must have started up another landslide and caught the car as they were coming down. It's dumped upside down in the gully, and it looks like Skarnek and his oppo are still in it.
Are they dead?
Probably. Thing is, the car's upside down and the doors are jammed.
Take me to it. We'll need some ropes and a winch and... Right.
I do feel sorry for them. I know, it seems like a terrible ending, even for men as horrible as those two. Maybe we should have waited back at Spring Cottage.
I'm not sure I want to know what he found in the car. Who'd have thought us going up to that musty old castle would have led to all this?
At least Jack got his photos of the eagles.
Well, I won't be taking any more for a while. I left the camera up at the castle and, just look at it. What with the lightning and the landslide, there's hardly anything left of the place.
Don't worry, Jack.
Bill! We didn't see you coming.
I'll replace the camera. And I think the rest of you deserve a present, too, after all your good work.
Yes. And me too.
Yes, you too, Tassie.
Bill, Skarnek and the other man, were they...
dead? No, knocked about a bit, but they'll both wake up all right. To find a nice big policeman by their beds.
So you've got them after all. Mm. Oh, let's all get back to the cottage. I don't want to look at what's left of that horrible old castle anymore.
Dusty, Frosty, Musty! Pop goes the Dusty, Frosty, Musty!
You will always have the last word, won't you, Kiki?
Oh, do you realise all those things that happened to us up there? And we never even knew the name of the place.
Castle of Adventure!
That's right, Kiki.
That's just what it was.
I'm glad it all ended happily. I only hope we end as happily.
Oh, the roof's gone! I can see the moon! The show must go on. The show must go on.
The show must get out. I'll grab the cases, you grab the body, right?
Where's my other crutch? He's got it! He's licking it like a lolly!
Varnish wood, you see? Leave it. Lean on my arm and hop.
Are you all right, PJ? Is Geordie okay?
I think so. Oh, look at our lovely den!
Well, at least we got all our cat's whiskers stuff out in time.
We had him looking so nice, too. I hope you get one rock!
Never mind, PJ. The next series can come from somewhere else. Don't we better go? It's getting cold. Can you hop for the BBC? Liz will find your walking stick, I expect.
Right.
What is it?
Just having one last look. Nothing much to see. He's eaten a lot apart from the door. I hope you're very pleased with yourself, Chris Creeper.
Charming. Julie, are you ready? It's bye from us. Take care now. Over to you, Julie.
Thanks, Richard. Hello, it's me again, Julie First, for the last time in this series of Cat's Whiskers. Oh, Chris Creeper's table manners leave a lot to be desired, don't they? Still, it doesn't actually matter about the shed. I'm whispering so he doesn't hear me. We won't be needing it for the next series because Cat's Whiskers is going to have its very own radio studio. So the big news is Cat's Whiskers starts again on Sunday, January the 15th at the same time of 6:30. And I'm going to be with you for the whole programme with a very special guest presenter. Find out who in the new series. I can tell you, though, that there's going to be lots of great competitions, all sorts of interesting guests visiting us in the studio, a chance for you to become a Cat's Whiskers super sleuth, and to be included in a Cat's Whiskers postbag. We'll be reading out a selection of your letters every week. Oh, and to top it all, there's going to be a brand new exciting serial. So there you are, the new series. Mind you, it's a shame. It's not starting until January of next year. So what are you going to do in the meantime? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you details of a new competition you might like to have a go at over the holidays. So make sure you've got your pen and paper ready. But before all that, I don't know what you've got planned for your Christmas holidays, but if you do go to a show or a pantomime, or maybe go to see a film, even read a good book, or play a computer game, how about writing us a review of it? I'll give you the address at the end as usual. Now, you could become one of our very first Cat's Whiskers critics. It's going to be another feature of the brand new series. Now then, let's have a look. What else? I've told you about that and I know, mustn't forget it, the playwriting competition. Do you like writing? You do? Great. Because if you are 12 or under on February the 1st next year, you might like to have a go at writing a radio play. What I want you to do is write a play or plays up to 5 minutes long. Now, your entries have got to be original ideas, and we need a signature of a parent or teacher to guarantee that. And please get your entries in by February the 1st, 1989. The winner will have their play recorded by professional actors and performed during the next series of Cat's Whiskers. But if you want some help with writing a radio play, because it's not the sort of thing you do every day, is it? Make sure you join the Cat's Whiskers Club, because the newsletter has an article about playwriting and all the details of the competition too. Talking about the club, and hundreds of you have joined already, I better tell you about how you can join. You've got to be 12 or under for a start, and you need to write to us with your name, your address, and your postcode and date of birth. You'll also need a signature from a parent or guardian and £2 for a year's membership fee. And can you make your cheques out to Cat's Whiskers Club? So make sure you don't miss out. Write soon and you can have your club card and badge by Christmas. Otherwise you'll have nothing to show off to all your friends. I better give you the address and I promise I'll do it very slowly. I don't want to get into trouble again. So, if you've got your pen and paper ready, here we go. Julie First, that's me, Cat's Whiskers, BBC, P.O. Box 40, Manchester, M60, 1FR. So that's Julie First, Cat's Whiskers, BBC, P.O. Box 40, Manchester, M60, 1FR. And that is it. Please do keep your letters coming in. We love reading them. And from myself, from Richard, PJ, Geordie and all the Cat's Whiskers team, have a brilliant Christmas. And do make sure your New Year resolution is to join us on January the 15th, 1989, for the brand new exciting series of Cat's Whiskers. Goodbye until then.
And as you heard, that's the last of the series of Cat's Whiskers. But the new series starts on Sunday, the 15th of January, at the usual time, 6:30. Tonight's Open Mind asks what more should the UN be doing to prevent war, and should it be forcing governments to protect the environment? Edward Mortimer will be discussing these issues with UN representatives from Britain, Iraq and the Soviet Union. Open Mind after the news at 7:02.